He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a beautiful sunny day. Beautiful fall sunny day.
This is a special month, too, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's October. It's Halloween time.
Well, this is, I think, your favorite month. I know it's got a special meaning for me, but again, it's just nice to be alive, feeling good, and just had a great interview with Dr. Colgan. It was nice to hear from him and get the latest update on anti-aging medicine, etc. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, that's great. I'm glad.
Let's get into what you specialize in. You're the whole food cook, or are you? That's my question. What's cooking?
What's cooking is cranberry coconut milk soup. Ooh, doesn't that sound odd? What an odd combination, huh? Well, I just figured that I put something together because holiday season has arrived, and there'll be plenty of leftovers in your fridge. And here's a really simple and tasty soup that can be vegetarian, or you can beef it up with any of your favorite meat, fish, or chicken. Or as you would say, protein tissue. You can puree this soup for a totally different texture, and then add the protein, or just have it pureed, or you can have it really chunky with the chunky vegetables in it. It's the same soup exactly, except what you do is you just puree it or make it chunky. So what I do is I add, well, in a skillet, I put a heaping tablespoon of coconut oil, and then a cup of finely chopped onion, and finely chopped celery, and finely chopped carrot, and a bunch of garlic, as much as you like. And then I saute it so that it's golden. And then in a pot, I add 3 cups of filtered water, 1 cup of frozen cranberries, 2 tablespoons of Mrs. Dash, and 2 cups of pre-cooked wild rice, 2 cups of coconut milk. And once that has come to a simmer, then I would add the freshly squeezed orange juice and, you know, a cup of orange zest. And, of course, you can always add chilies if you like. And then you just, like, let it simmer for a half an hour, or you can leave it overnight. I always like to have my soups overnight in the fridge because I think that they get the flavor seeps in better. However, everybody still thinks it tastes good that same day. Now, you can add prawns to this soup, which tastes really, really good. Or you can add some leftover chicken or leftover turkey. And what I like to do is when I make this soup is because the cranberries are a little bit tart, is crush the cranberries. That would probably be the best idea. Crush the cranberries after they've been cooked in the pot, and then it won't be such a surprise for those who find the cranberry too tart for their palate. But it's got everything in it that is healthy and good and easy and a water-based soup. Now, one of the little tricks of the trade that I like to do to thicken my soups, instead of adding like flour or cornstarch or tapioca flour or anything like that, I just take a little bit of the soup with all the chunky vegetables, I puree it in the blender, and then I just put it back into the soup, like a cup or two, depending on how much soup I've made, and that seems to thicken the soup up. So that's a little trick too, isn't it?
Yeah, and I guess the texture is a factor that, depending upon the person, I know that I'm affected by what it looks like. You know, all we have to do is turn the lights off, and all of a sudden what you're eating doesn't taste as good.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of weird. But, yeah, no, this was a nice combination. Of course, I liked it when you added those nice large prawns. I felt that after eating the soup plain, that seafood in particular would seem to connect. Maybe it was because it looked like almost like a clam chowder.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
But it doesn't taste like that. It doesn't taste clammy at all. That coconut milk, which is quite nice, and all these coconut water, coconut fat, coconut milk, all this stuff is really getting popular, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And then the cranberry and the orange juice, that's kind of nice. Rather than usually what you have, the coconut milk, you'd have like lemon or lemongrass. So it's just a little bit different. It tastes like Christmas.
Well, and you really drive the cranberry in. There's just not a sprinkling. There's quite a bit of it in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always make my recipes 3 times before I publish them.
Right.
And then I did add too many cranberries to the second batch. I thought the first batch wasn't enough cranberries. The second batch, I added too many cranberries, and then it was super tart. So, as I said, crush the cranberry for those of you that don't.
And you bought the cranberries frozen the same way that we buy our frozen berries.
Yes.
So the whole cranberry, the real McCoy, and then you put that in there. And, you know, the research that I looked up with those proanthocyanidins shows that there's some legitimate effect. And I thought in treating the urinary bladder thing and the urethra and then the infection. So why not have a little bit of this in a soup, which would prevent it, so therefore you wouldn't need any to treat it?
Well, for sure, and you can make this soup any time of the year. I just thought the cranberry and orange would be great for the season. But, you know, you can have the cranberries in the soup, and that would also help heal you. You know, because at that time of the year, we're maybe drinking too much and eating foods that are too rich and spicy, maybe not so much spicy, but far too rich and acidic and far too much food. Which, if you have a tendency to get the bladder infection or yeast infection, the cranberry is definitely going to treat as well as prevent.
Yeah, well, that's probably why so many people get sick just after Christmas and during it, because they imbibe and overindulge. And you and I tend not to do that for many different reasons. I think stability of blood sugar, our training, commitment, and all the rest of it, the consciousness, that all adds up to it. But...
Well, I think for me, if I have wine, that is my dessert.
Right.
Because I just get way, I know my body, I get way too acidic, and I can't have it all when it comes to that. I have to draw the line, and my line is, do I want chocolate cheesecake, or do I want a glass of wine?
Yeah.
And, you know, it depends, right? So,
I'm the same way with my ale, with my beer, my micro-brewed beer. Like, okay, I'd rather not eat the bread, the bagels, the pastas, and all of those starchy carbs, knowing that I can have a couple of beer and get a buzz on.
Exactly, absolutely. So the coconut milk contains many vitamins, minerals, electrolytes, including potassium, calcium chloride. The saturated fat in the coconut is made up of short-chain and medium-chain fatty acids, and the body quickly turns it into energy rather than stored as fat. So that's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yes, and of course, your recipe is going to be published in the next issue of Vista, which would be, what, November, December?
Yeah, that's why I thought Thanksgiving season, Christmas season, yeah. So you can get it online and Vista Magazine as well.
Right on, yeah, that's VistaMagOnline.com, and you can always get Tracy's recipes and then download or print that off if you want a copy of that. Okay, that's great stuff. Good whole food recipe once again. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Ms. Sylvia Rayner. She's a certified neuro-optimal neurofeedback trainer and clinical hypnotherapist. Now that's a mouthful!
And I think you need a degree just to be able to say that.
Which works from stopping addictions to pain management, and the list goes on and on and on. However, working with athletes to improve their mental gain and sport is her main practice. And this is a very unique field. If you haven't heard her interview already, man, oh man, I could listen to it over and over again. And it's also turned me on to wanting to become hypnotized. So what she does in her first session, she demystifies hypnosis. And interestingly enough, everyone can be hypnotized. You just have to trust. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know for me, hypnotism was seeing Ravine and going to Las Vegas and seeing these people go up on stage making fools of themselves, and we laugh at them. And that's what we used to think hypnosis was. So actually, it's actually really a healing technique.
Yes, and one of the questions I asked her was, is hypnotism recognized in medicine? And it was absolutely yes. There's journals that talk about it, and also professions that give it credibility, and that the doctors are actually, they have access to learning about it, just that most of them don't.
Her practice is mainly the sports aspect, athletes. However, like I said, she does all types of people and their addictions or their hang-ups or whatever it may be. But she says that for an athlete, it gives them more confidence. It's not about, I want to get out there and win. It's about overall confidence so that the athlete can perform at optimum levels and be able to go all out. She talks about the holistic health of the athlete and seeing the athlete become happy and have personal betterment and unburdening themselves. So all in all, we know we've met a lot of high-performance athletes, and some of them really do have issues, anger issues, and that's what propels them. And this is what she tries to unburden, right?
Yes, absolutely. So that was a great interview, great insight, and a great topic.
That was fantastic. Anyway, I'd just like to say thank you, Sylvia, very much.
Good stuff. So let's move on to our next topic. I believe that would be our CHI update.
Absolutely. Well, Dancing with the Vernon Stars is come and gone, 2013. And it was a fun time, and the stars were fantastic. And I was able to be the co-host MC, which was wonderful. You know me, getting a microphone in front of me.
You did a great job, by the way.
And lots of bling, and all dressed up. He put a little makeup on me, gave me a little hair and a fancy schmancy costume, and I'm all ready for it.
Okay.
However, the stars, there were seven couples, and each one of them not necessarily were married, but these couples were each from a different career path. There was the Woman of the Year. There was also MLA. There are people who own their own businesses. Now, what these people do is some of them have never danced before. And what they're doing is they're learning a dance, working full-time jobs and careers, and also they are fundraising to make money for the North Okanagan Hospice Society. So they did a fantastic job. And the rehearsal was hilarious, but the actual night of the show, they really did themselves with their costuming, and it was really a lot of fun. Really, really a lot of fun. So,
well, I had a bird's eye view, certainly from above once again, as I operated the at least one of the spotlights, and that was great to see everything from that point of view, that vantage point. Just a great show. It was nice and tight. You guys did a great job at managing it, and I think everybody had a good time, lots of fun, huh?
I think they did, too. I got to perform my Bollywood routine with my gals, and these gals are all over 50 years old. The old eldest one was 66. So between 50 and 66 years old, these Bollywood gals, we were all decked out in our Bollywood gear, and it was just really a lot of fun. Now, they're amateur dancers, and they did a great job, and it was all about having a good time. And we used our veils, and we shook up our hips, and I'm just looking forward to the next time that we can perform this routine, because we really went all out in the costume. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that dancing should be one of our new compulsory elements of fitness because, of course, training and exercise in the gym is what a lot of the dancers don't do, and they should just to maintain their strength, etc., VO2 max. But if you did do that in the workout phase of the gym, then dancing could be done for fun, recreation, and neuroplasticity value as it relates to sharpening the mind and balancing your body and just coordinating movement in the dance floor, right?
Absolutely. So you get to move to music, and symmetrical is very important, and also learning how to work in front of a mirror and out and without a mirror, and just all around using the floor and from the floor up. It's just wonderful.
You know, I listened to a tutorial today through Anti-Aging Medicine American Academy, and they were talking to a doctor that specializes in aesthetic anti-aging, and she said symmetry, that just because you mentioned that word, she said symmetry is one of the most important things that creates attraction between humans. So if your eyebrows are not balanced, or if your face doesn't look quite right, what they're suggesting is that you use some of these new technologies that they focus on to create more symmetry in your look so that makes you more attractive to people, which is kind of interesting, huh?
Well, totally. Absolutely.
And, of course, symmetry.
That's what makeup artists have done. That's what makeup does.
And then in bodybuilding, what's the number one component that they look
symmetry.
For?
Symmetry. Symmetry, because you have to be practically naked and have symmetry. So that's very difficult to do, to match everything up. However, when you wear clothes, you can have symmetry. Like if you don't have shoulders, you can wear a little bit of shoulder pad. Or if you have big knees, you can have a skirt or wear pants. Or, you know, different colors can make you slimmer or put weight on you. It's just, you know, as my mother used to say, she says, clothes are like gravy. It hides a multitude of mistakes. So if you're not a good cook, just slap gravy all over it and it'll taste good, right? Or ketchup, one or the other. Nonetheless.
Absolutely.
Moving on.
What's next on the menu?
Next on the menu is our Lower Mainland Lecture Tour, and it's all about life extension. That's your new topic this year.
Yeah, and I'm very excited because I've given a couple of talks already, and the interest is high, and it's particularly relative today, as it's always been, but who doesn't have an interest in staying well for life? And my topic is the science of living well, and it is a science, life extension and healthy aging. So just want to give everyone out there listening some idea where our lectures are going to be for this particular tour. So we've got 7 lectures from October 13th to October 20th. That's just around the corner. So beginning Sunday the 13th, that's at New Wave Athletics. That's 1 to 3 p.m. Their website is newwaveathletics.com. Next, on Tuesday, because we'll take the Monday off, it's Thanksgiving, spend some time with the kids. October 15th, Tuesday, that's at InfoFit, School of Fitness Professionals, and their website is infofit.ca. The timing on that is 6 to 7 p.m. On Wednesday, the 16th, at Body Age Fitness, that's being hosted at the Benthall Center Athletic Club. Their website is bodyagefitness.ca. That's 7 to 8:30. On the 17th, which is a Thursday, Apocalypse Training. The website is apocalypsetraining.ca. That's from 6:30 to 8. And Function Health Club on Friday, the 18th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. The website is functionhealthclub.com. And on the 19th, which is a Saturday, FitQuest Personal Training, and the website is fitquesttraining.com. That's from noon till 2 p.m. And last but not least, Misfit Fitness, Sunday, October 20th. That's out in Surrey. The time is 2 to 4 p.m., and the website is misfitfitness.com. So looking forward to that, meeting our people, and hopefully spreading some seeds, Johnny Apple seed style, and getting some new students, expanding CHI, and just getting that good news out there that it's good to train and eat whole food.
Well, that's quite the lineup. And all of these places that we are doing, presenting the lectures, are all CSNA students and graduates.
That's right. And if anyone is listening to this, and if you want us to come to your facility, and if you want to host a seminar, let us know, just like we're doing in November with Ryan out in Ottawa and Tom in Montreal. So if you've got a facility, a fitness facility, a gym, or a health food store, or you want to create or host a seminar, we'll come and lecture and help expand your business profile. And this is a good practice and a good experience for our people because it increases their business savvy.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it also helps individuals for the owner's manual to learn how to stay well and healthy and spread the word, right? Because isn't it nice to be around people who are like-minded and parallel? Share the knowledge, man. That's what it's all about, sharing the knowledge. Don't hoard it. Don't keep it to yourself. That's poisonous. If you hoard information that is absolutely essential for others to learn, if you know something that will help somebody, share that knowledge with them.
Well, that's all we've ever done.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all, Charles Poliquin does. That's what, Paul Check does. All the leaders in the field, all who have expanding businesses, all share their knowledge. They write
absolutely
about their knowledge. They distribute their knowledge.
Yeah.
So,
If you share your knowledge and help others, it will come back to you tenfold.
Absolutely.
No, it really, really does. So I'm all over that. So anyway,
The tighter you squeeze something, the tighter you become inside mentally, morally, and physically, and then it leads to aberration in your behavior. You start to hate yourself, drug addiction, alcoholism, all kinds of weird things, huh?
Absolutely. Food, which
yeah,
is the major,
well, that's the biggest one,
the
huh?
Major addiction is food.
Well, that's the one that we can get away with even in church. I can bring our junk food in church and eat junk in church. Even the minister can do it at the church picnic, but you wouldn't see the minister guzzling a 26er of rum or smoking a pack of cigarettes, right? Which are not as bad or harmful, with all things considered, as eating that junk food.
Well, it's interesting. I forgot to mention that Sylvia Rayner, the hypnotist, she says that food is the hardest addiction to overcome. That takes the longest of all sessions, is the food addiction, because it's all around us. Now, isn't that absolutely amazing?
Well, and plus we have to eat, right?
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, dear, I just wanted to wish you a very happy birthday. And that's it. That's all. There ain't no more.
Right on, and happy birthday to you, dear. When Halloween comes, I expect you to do what you normally do, which is transform into a good witch of the West, right?
Nice try, buddy. Nice try.
So what's your final word, hon?
My final word is by author unknown. Eat, drink, and be scary this Halloween.